guys.
Hey!
Welcome into the program. That's Josh Fligger.
Yes, it is.
And Larry Morgan. That's and me. Sam Farmer is on assignment because it's a football Sunday as we're recording this.
The American game.
When the people that you know don't like you, and your treasure friendships end.
Oh, heavens, it's so good to see you.
Right back at you, man.
Hey, Larry, I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
When your kids grow up, do you ever regain the ability to just be able to sleep in on when you want? or now that you've, like, once I've had a child, there's, like, some DNA forms in me that I must, regardless of time I went to bed, must wake up at 6:45 every morning.
Yeah.
I can attempt to go, I can try to go back to sleep, and sometimes I'm successful, but never in my life again will I be able to sleep past the 6:45 to 7:15 range.
Tell you, Josh, I can't remember a time that I, since I was in my 20s, that I have slept past 9 a.m.
Oh, yeah, I can't. It just seems so luxurious to look back
as
like a 23-year-old sleeping to like 10:30 or 11 a.m. and just being like,
noon,
I don't even
man.
Give a shit. They get up and go get lunch. You know what I mean?
Wake up at noon. Oh. Yeah. I mean, I still see Alex doing it. He's 30 and, you know, he's staying up late, but he's got an alarm set for 8:30. So I see him dealing with, you know, 6 hours sleep. He's still young enough. He can manage during the day.
I was out on a fucking soccer field at 7:30 in the morning yesterday. I was just standing there like, what am I doing here? I'm barely at work at this time. And now I'm on a soccer field.
I have the combined thing of the change in your DNA. It just takes effect as you get older and have kids. Andy probably has experienced this too. Uh-huh. Once you've done morning drive
right.
for any mm-hmm. length of time, it's kind of ingrained in you. I am waking up every day now no later than 5:20, and I am I set no alarms. It's just my body wakes me
really?
Up at that time.
Oh no, I need an alarm for it.
But even when I don't set it, like out, my body will still get up like within a 10 to 15 minute range of that alarm.
Yeah, I get up at the exact same time, Larry, and get up and start getting busy with things. But if I didn't have shit to do, I could sleep until 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah. But
I can lay in,
but you
I can
would
lay in
wake
bed
up,
forever.
But you would wake up at that time, though, right? And then realize you had nothing to do and then force yourself to go back to sleep.
Yeah. Sure, maybe.
See, I can't even do that. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, I know I got nothing to do today. And I still am like, I can't sleep.
It's not because Owen is coming in and hopping on Pop. It's just automatically you wake
dog,
up.
Crushing my balls as he walks across the bed. His little fat feet just walking across my scrotum. It was the worst.
I'm glad you had that in your life. That's amazing. Now, speaking of that, this is a personal thing, but we share personal things, right?
Yeah.
I thought I'd go ahead and we've been talking about my.
This isn't a scrotum story, is it, Andy? Because I'm gonna say hard pass on that.
hard pass. it kind of is.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
Okay.
I just thought I'd
Sunday
share this
morning
is something,
scrotum stories. Go.
This is something that you don't hear anybody ever talk about.
There might be a real good reason for that, Andy. Have you thought about that?
This is something you don't read in books.
Something the health teacher doesn't
so
tell
do you.
unless you're reading it in a book where it says, I never thought it would happen to me.
You may have seen me in some of your favorite educational films, like You and Your Scrotum.
When you get cancer and you have a chemo and you lose your hair, the first hair to go is the hair on top of your head.
Okay.
Right?
And then you start to, it's kind of weird. You start to lose your eyebrows and you realize that after you shave, your facial hair just starts not coming in anymore. You know, I mean, you have to shave every now and then, but it's like, you know, it's like you're 12. It's like peach
fuzzy.
Fuzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was really weird how light those hairs, you know, got. And the last ones to go are your pubes.
This sounds kind of like a benefit, though.
So does that happen at the same time as other body hair? Are you like a swimmer? Are you just like a dolphin? Are you smooth all the way down?
Yeah, I can. I'm slick as a salamander.
Oh God.
Here's the thing. It's interesting. It came back, and I guess this is, you know, it only makes sense. It's logical, but it came back in the same order, more or less, where my hair on the top of my head started coming back. I've got this Mike Pence hairdo right now. Uh-huh. All I'm missing is a little black fly right here, and I'm Mike Pence. And
still timely.
Yeah. Good. And and then you know, I noticed my facial hair, you know, started, like, you know, you could tell just with the razor, like, I got to change the razor. You know, it's very, very much bristly and robust again. Mm-hmm. And just in the last week or so, got pubes back.
Oh, congratulations. You're a man.
Thank you.
Does it feel
good
to be not feel like a 9-year-old boy now?
They're not going to point and laugh at you in the shower anymore.
Little pat on the back. I got my pubes again. And I'm only...
So what was the... What,
40 years later.
What was... finally paid off. So what was... Okay, so what's the pattern again? Hair, eyes,
top
face?
Top of the head, and then eyebrows and face. And then the last to go is the pubosity.
So you start to get like a little facial hair, and you look down, and you're like, "Cue you, you're next, buddy. You're coming up.
Yeah, you're on deck. Start warming up." It was weird to walk around, you know, all manscaped all the time.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
You know, it's even weirder than that, talking about it.
I mean, I already know that feeling, so it's not a big deal to me, you know?
Yeah. What? Wait, what?
Yeah.
Interesting.
We all make our own grooming choices. So.
Listen, guys, there's some things that we need to keep in this show. I know when everything's out in the open, but there is a line.
Hey, one of the biggest podcast sponsors out there is Manscaped.
Yeah.
This is the perfect opportunity.
Is it, you know what their product is called? To
advertise the lawnmower, which is
what they call
their highly touted instrument.
I remember hearing that the first time and laughing and staring. They're like, oh my God, we're really advertising something, a man beautyscaping thing called the lawnmower.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And also, you know, and they like to throw in the other, is it Harry's, the shaving
butter
company, and those guys, mm-hmm. They have, you know, ball deodorant. They just call it ball deodorant. They don't even hold back. It literally says that on the bottle.
Is that true? Is that true?
Yes. Ball deodorant.
But it's Harry ball deodorant.
Harry ball deodorant.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing.
Is that a roll-on? Yep. What is it, a spray?
I have not utilized that product yet. Don't need it.
Yeah.
Just for the record.
Write in. If you've used Harry's ball deodorant, write in and tell us how you apply it.
I'm here to tell you, you know, every now and then you should probably get in there and just trim back that kudzu just a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not 1977 anymore.
Yeah, it's the hedges around your house. You got to hit them every once in a while.
No, I don't know, Andy. I think that's coming back. I think people are more into, I mean, I think we went through that Seacrest phase where you trim everything. But
did we talk about this before?
No, we've never talked about this before.
I can definitely say we've never talked about this before.
We're never going to talk about it again. So let's just get it all out now.
When you're losing your hair, though, I think we mentioned this months and months ago about how there are, you know, locks for love or whatever, where people give their hair so that they can be made into wigs for people who have cancer. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a wonderful thing. That's what I was going to say. Maybe it's time to have Merkins for myeloma or something. Yeah. I don't know. It's just something to think about.
So what do you do? Just trim yourself over a bucket and let all like, you know, squat over a bucket and get out the lawnmower and get the weed whacker going and just let that shit fall down and scrape it up and put it in a sandwich bag and mail it off to someone.
You know, for someone who didn't want to talk about it, you're being the most graphic about making us picture all this stuff.
This is where I knew it was going to get here. I knew it was going to get here. I knew at some point in time we're going to be talking. This is I'm disturbed. Well,
you've got a whole plan for it, which is just a little bit weird.
I have a lot. Yeah. What do you do? I mean, if you brought up the idea of saving your pubes for the needy.
Josh.
I think what's happened here is that Josh didn't want to talk about it, but he's now definitely been it. Thinking about
now
it.
Now I'm embracing it. I've embraced it. Now I want to dive head in first. Go.
Josh,
yes.
Josh, got to tell you a secret.
Okay.
I'm not serious about doing it.
Well, don't bring this shit up if you're not serious.
Yeah, don't you know this is only a serious topic podcast?
Only serious things.
If you don't want me to go in 100% on this, then don't bring it up.
And now for the serious news with Josh.
Hey, I have a dilemma. I had a dilemma, and I want to get your thoughts on it. I'll just cut right to the chase. Found a big old cockroach nestling itself on my toothbrush. So, that's it. That's all I wanted to say. you can't see Josh. This has hit him harder than anything.
Larry, that was surgical precision. That was a laser focused airstrike.
That was
right?
It was a drone strike right there.
Is this show almost over?
I couldn't describe how I walked into the bathroom.
Because I can't take much more.
So when I finish brushing my teeth, I like to just let it drain on the lip of the sink for a little while, and then I'll put it back in its little receptacle or whatever. And for some reason in LA, I left it that way overnight, and I go in the morning, and it's on the lip of the sink. Bristles down, right? Pointed down. And so this, I'm not kidding, inch and a half long. It's like grabbing it from underneath. It's hanging upside down on the bristles on my toothbrush. So my question for you guys is, do I have to get a new toothbrush?
You need to get a new bathroom. Burn it down.
Oh God.
Oh my God.
I had a roommate. When we were young and poor. We had a house in Hollywood. I had three roommates, and when you're young and poor, you do the thing where you just
Josh, hold on, we're still recovering. We were having a tough time.
I just shot coffee out my nose. Oh, am I crying?
We're not even listening to you. I'm just watching you over and over again react to that.
Did you watch it run away, or did you just close the door and act and leave?
Well, here's
and slowly back out of the room.
Okay, here's how sad it was. I went and got my phone so I could take a picture of it. And when I got back, he was gone. And when I say he was gone, he had disappeared, and I think he went down the sink, which is very disturbing. No. So I ran some scalding hot water for as long as I could.
That won't kill him. If you see a roach in the room, you cannot leave the room until it's dead, or everything in that room is burnt. That's the way you got to do.
I immediately thought, I'm going to Instagram this. That's how sick I am. Fuck. It was bad. But I don't know how long he'd been there.
To ever be, other than in your mouth.
So I just soaked it in some Listerine, used it the next day.
Yeah, and I cleaned my toilet. God.
That is priceless. That's
it was massive, though. I'm a little concerned. I'm a little concerned about how big this cockroach was, though, because and you've seen the L.A. cockroaches. Yeah, you know what those guys can get like.
Well,
and
that was a baby cockroach compared to some of the ones that I had when I lived in Koreatown.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
When I first moved here, they would be 3 inches long, and they crawled up out of the drain of the bathtub.
I've seen some wear collars. Oh. I've seen some have licenses and collars on. holy shit, I don't know if I should kill it. It might be illegal to kill that thing because it's
got off its leash.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's something. Whew.
My chest hurts, man. I'm anyway.
Well, that leads me to Disneyland.
Wow.
No, I don't, there's no connection. But we went to Disneyland this week, this on Monday, this last week, to celebrate Silas's 11th birthday, the Thursday before. Yeah, it was great. We went down there, you know, we stayed a night at one of the hotels and on Sunday, and then on Monday, just spent the day, you know, going through the park from 8 in the morning until, you know, 9.
Did you do both of them?
Did you do both of them? Yeah. No, we park hopped.
Yep. That's why I do it.
yeah, and we went around. It was just we had a fantastic time, except we get up in the morning and they warn us at the desk. Okay, so here's what you're going to want to do if you want to try to ride Rise of the Resistance or the Web Slingers thing. You know, if you want to ride those, you got to get a reservation. Yeah. You can only ride it once a day. And you got to get up, and it's 7 a.m. is when it starts, the sign up for it on your web app yep. on your phone. And you got to start pressing that refresh and hope you get in there. So Lara and I both get up at 6:45. We get the app ready to go. We get through all of the steps, and it's right there where the refresh button is. And so when it gets to be like 6:59, we start pressing refresh, and it says, sorry, it's already full.
Yep.
What?
How does that happen?
Worry. The Star Wars or the Spider-Man ride sucks.
Here's the thing. I think that their clock is fast and it's set to something nowhere near your iPhone time. And we just got boned out of that. So then we go around and we do our business throughout the day. And then at noon is your next chance to sign up for it.
Right.
So we sign up at noon. We get our phones out. We're like, motherfucker, you know, we're going to start pressing this at 5 minutes till. Yeah. we're going to be doing this until we get an answer. So the time comes. We start hitting refresh. And nothing. She gets in. Makes a reservation for us. We're going in over 6 hours later. It was like sometime in the 6 o'clock hours when our appointment was. So she's got us an appointment for sometime in the 6 o'clock hour to ride this ride. And so when that happens, they call you. You've got an hour to get there. Everything's going to work out. We're stoked. And we're talking about it the whole day. This is going to be great. Can't wait to ride that thing. They say it's worth the price of admission, that alone. Hold on, my kid's knocking at the door. Hold, please. And we're back.
Yeah, so can you tell, we had a bet going here. Which one was it?
Oh, yeah, it was the little one, the girl.
We could tell by the knock.
I could tell from the knock. It was that insistent. It was light, but it was insistent, and it was rhythmic, and it was meant to completely annoy you to the point.
There was a tinge
you must pay attention to me.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah, Silas would have put his fist through the glass. Yeah.
And yelled, hey!
And that's why I had to stop, because I knew she wouldn't go away. Mm-hmm. Love her. Love her to pieces.
Yep.
Anywho's. So where was I? Oh, so we have our appointment, and we're going to go across the park to meet our appointment. We walk all the way across from where we are over in future Tomorrowland, all the way across the park, through Frontierland, down around into Star Wars Land. We go down, around, and down to where you get to the Rise of the Resistance ride. We walk up to the gate and we show them our phone and say, hey, we're here. And they said, yeah, our ride's down.
Oh.
Usually it takes at least an hour when the ride's down. So what do? Well, you have to wait because the ride's down. So, okay. So that's, you know, it's like 6:30 or 6:45 or something like that at that point.
So plus you don't know how long it's been down, so everybody in front of you might be waiting.
For, yeah, there's a crowd of people sitting around waiting to go on this ride. So it closes at 9. They stop it at 9 regardless. So we wait around there until like 8:40 or something like that, and it's never coming back up. So we leave. We never got to ride the fucking ride of the Rise of the Resistance.
Too bad. It's awesome.
So yeah. Pretty.
Too bad. It's fucking great. Yeah, it's great.
Thank you, Josh. Thank you for that.
We did the same thing for Owen's birthday, except, we did it on a Thursday. and that changes. Yeah. We went in on a Thursday. We did the same thing. Cindy woke up.
I went on a Monday in September. Who the fuck is there on a Monday in September?
Here's, I'll tell you the difference. We did that. We got immediately on the both rides. The first, the what's it called? The Rise of the Resistance or whatever. Uh-huh. That one, our ride was like at 11 a.m. We walked into the park and rode the Millennium Falcon ride four times in a row, just going in a circle so everybody could ride the different parts of the thing because there was nobody there. Then we went, we just, it was awesome. We just, there was like times where you just went, walked into a ride, did the ride, and then walked right off and went and did. Like, we rode like five rides in like an hour and a half.
Larry, tell the cockroach story again.
So I walk into my bathroom. Thursday,
inch and a half.
See, now this is good to know because Alex and I are just about to do this. We have decided we're going to pick a day, and it's going to be middle of the week, like a Wednesday or a Thursday.
That's exactly.
Going to get started early, and we're going to wait until after Halloween, after Halloween time, which is a big deal, but before all the Christmas stuff starts going. So there's a sweet spot early November where we can get in there before people start showing
Guess
up.
Guess what I did yesterday morning?
What, Josh?
I went and bought a new Christmas tree.
What? On October the 2nd?
Yep. That's because that shit is going to be sold out in a couple weeks, and you're not going to be able to find any of that crap anymore. So they were on sale at Lowe's, and I was like, I looked at my wife, and I'm like, we need a new Christmas tree. Do you just want to get it now so we don't have to worry about any of this crap when Christmas time rolls around? Because there's going to be all these shipping
shortages. There's a shortage,
shortages.
Too.
Yes.
There is. They were saying that
tree,
the
go out and get it now.
The prices are already, you probably got it on sale, and it was still a little more expensive than normally would be.
I don't know. I don't know what my Christmas tree budget usually is. I only buy one every 10 years. So it can be expensive. It can be cheap. I don't know. It's Christmas tree price.
Yeah, they say this stuff is rocketing up.
Did I hear there's also going to be a real Christmas tree shortage this year?
I don't know. Nobody buys real Christmas
trees. I don't know about that.
I thought I heard that there was some supply line issue with.
Well, it
with
might
that.
Just be just the act of shipping them, you know, getting them from the when they're cut down to. I mean, the biggest issue right now is not even stuff; it's getting stuff to places.
Right.
Just having drivers and containers and that sort of thing. They just don't have the people to the manpower to get it done. We need more Trucker Joes in the world.
Yes,
it's not Christmas yet, people. You know what it is? You know what it is? You know what it is? It's fall. It's fall. It's fall. Larry, we didn't speak about it. Now, are we prepared to do this?
Yeah, we absolutely are.
Well, then I'm going to turn things over to you. We should have billboarded this at the top of the program, but you've prepared.
No, we went right into pube talk. Yeah. So that's whose fault was that?
Pubes and cockroaches. Come get it.
Yeah. So now let's delve into the beautiful, sweet season of fall. This is quite a turn.
Yeah, we talked last week about, you know, songs that remind you of fall for whatever reason. Songs that in your mind make you think of fall. And and I'd be interested to see what you prepared for us.
Yeah, of course you will. Because you came up with this cockamamie category, but Josh and I conferred separately on this because, I think we were both struggling a little bit to try and wrap our heads around what this means, and we got to the conclusion it was, you know, cancer. So we just had to say yes. We couldn't fight back. His first week cancer-free, and we can't be dicks about it.
It's a pity play. Okay, let's see what you came up with.
But here's the interesting thing. Now, once again, we are a little bit kind of on the same track this time because we all three picked sweet sentimental songs, which we'll start with, okay, guys? And then we have somewhat offbeat or upbeat or unusual ones for the second choices. So you're going to have to explain yourselves when we get to those. I'm going to start because mine, off the top, I can't even believe this was still on the table when we came up with the concept because I was sure that someone in this group was going to snag this one, so I took it.
Because I'm still in love with you.
Nice.
I want to see.
Hard Harvest Moon. That was literally the first song that popped in my head. It couldn't so be good. More of a beautiful fall song. We played it the night there was the Harvest Moon around here, which is adorable. And I can't believe Andy didn't snag that one. I do love that song. I remember when it came out. I remember when he sang it on SNL. And it still gives me little good feel chills all up and down the old spine and makes me, absolutely puts me in the mind of fall. Love
it's
that
so
song.
Great. And the, one of the percussionists, instead of them having brushes on a snare drum, he actually has a broom and a floor mic, a mouse, you know, like a stage mic, and he's sweeping. And that's the sound
really?
Of the,
of the, of
yeah,
the brush. So sh-
it's sh- it's so, yeah, exactly. It's so, so good. Go watch the Neil Young Unplugged. That's where he did that one, right? Yeah. I'm pretty sure they did Harvest Moon. It was just so, so great. And Nils Lofgren is there and so forth. And it's a really good performance. And there's so many good things. Like, he does Like a Hurricane at the organ, at a pump organ. And he's playing the harmonica. So Neil Young, here he is. He's pumping his feet up and down, right, to do the bellows on the organ, playing the organ with his hands, playing the harmonica with his mouth, and singing this song. And it's just him, and it's haunting and fantastic.
He's sweating like a pig.
And a one-note guitar solo with his pinky.
Shut up!
All right, Andy, you're up. Let's go with your sweet sentimental song.
Okay, this one. I am a big fan of this band. I always have been. They've got a number of songs that are just, you know, it's almost in that ELO category of the production is so.
I think we're talking about the wrong one.
Oh, I get the wrong one?
Yeah.
Oh, so is the more recent song you're going to play for?
Yeah, that one. Oh. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought the other one was more sweet and sentimental. All right. Well, fine. This is.
They're both pretty wimpy, but no, I'm kidding. How about the wimpy one? How about I say it that way? Let's start with the wimpy one.
Thank you. This one mentions things that happen in November historically, and. Although there's a kind of a winter sort of flurry sound to it in my mind, this is one that just always makes me think of a gray fall day. But the song is just so ethereal and well-produced. I always enjoy it. Hit it, Larry.
The Salvation Army band played, and the children drank lemonade, and the morning lasted all day.
There you go. Dream Academy, Life in a Northern Town. And I don't know if you know this, but Heyo Mama Mabadubanaya is Algonquin for This Song Is Very Fall-like.
I knew it. And as soon as he started with the, if you didn't know, I was like, here we go. It's going to be something. I braced myself way ahead of that one.
Okay, so let me guess. Alice in Chains, Rooster.
I looked at it. I could not find an Alice in Chains song. But along the same line, I just got to say, I sat there for a week and thought of, I'm like, what songs remind me of fall? And I'm like, my brain does not function like this. I don't hear a song and relate it and go, wow, that really sounds like a season. That sounds like winter to me. I couldn't grasp this concept. So it started to get like late in the week, and I'm like, well, okay, well, think of songs that you remember. I'm like, well, I put myself as a child in fall. You know what I mean? And then I was like, what do I remember listening to? So if you're gonna do the softer one, Larry, I remember getting up early in the morning and getting in my mom's car to go to my babysitter's. And this being on the radio for like 3 months when I was a kid, and I looked it up, and this was released in August, I think August of that year. So go ahead.
I just called to say I love you.
Just sitting in a cold car, Butler, Pennsylvania, AM radio on the way to school.
And this was always on.
It was just, it seemed like there was a stretch of my life where this was on the radio every single where I went. And my babysitter, she would, after the news in the morning, she would put on AM radio, and we would, and we'd hear this every 30 minutes.
So, yeah. If you look up the word subjective in the dictionary, it refers you to that song right there.
Yeah. Not one of Stevie's, like, most complicated compositions.
No, I was, but it's
I was thinking about him the other day, and I think he might be one of the most underrated musicians.
Oh.
People don't appreciate.
You think he's underrated?
Yeah, I don't think he gets enough props for how many great songs that he's written. And he gets props. I'm just saying there's so many. If you go look at his library of songs, you will forget how many great songs that he's written. You know what
he's
I mean?
Got 60 years I worth know. Of hits. Yeah, he's amazing.
So good.
And if you look at that stretch of, especially that mid 70s stretch of albums, if you look at those albums, just like in a
Book
row.
Book of Life and Inner Visions, and it's incredible.
And what he did on those records to innovate what was going on, just like songwriting and the approach to production and the composition of it and the conceptual stuff he was doing, is like, people need to, you're right, people should go back and listen to that body of material.
I know that he's, I think we've taken him for granted for how good he is as a musician. You know what I mean? Like, he's just put so many good things out there that you're like, yeah, that's another great Stevie Wonder song. You know what I mean? It seems like everything he touches turns to gold. Anyway.
And if you only know that one and Ebony and Ivory, you are not digging deep enough.
Yeah, exactly. You haven't experienced it. Yeah.
All right. Well, similar to you, Josh, I actually went with one. Now, my second choice is not in any way putting me in the mind of fall in the ethereal sense, but it did come out in the fall, and it was one that I was listening to by choice all the time. But I was a grown-up. And it happened to be an album that came out that was probably one of the first that I could share with Alex in a way that we were both just so bowled over by it that when I got him in the car to go to school, we listened to it every day for as long as I could remember. And it started out this way.
Don't want to be an American.
So for the entire fall of 2005, this may have been the only thing we had on the radio from, and we would track the entire thing as long as it took us to get to school, to the point where he played songs from this for his school talent show and shit. I mean, he was so into this record. I was always a Green Day fan. This record was such a leap forward for that band and Billy Joe, the way, again, a conceptual album. And at the time, you know, it was a political, he was a little ahead of his time in trying to do political commentary. I have to say now, thinking back to it, he could have saved some of that rage for the last couple of years. But what a freaking phenomenal record that is. Every track on it is melodic. And there's like this incredible long, sequence of a medley of songs in the middle of it, Jesus of Suburbia. I mean, it's an incredible record. But so
it's a mini rock opera.
And sure, it would have been a little too on the nose to pick Wake Me Up When September Ends, which would have been maybe ideal for the first week of October. But American Idiot, man, Green Day.
When I think of leaf peeping, I think of American Idiot and Green Day and punk rock.
Yeah. It was a memory thing. That's like Josh said.
Yeah. It's a memory thing.
Yeah. All right, your turn, Andy.
I loved it. Kind of similar to what the two of you have done here. You know, I think that a lot of people, the first song they would think of is, California Dreamin'. But I would caution you, the California Dreamin' was on a winter's day.
Such a winter's day, yeah.
But
I mean, all the leaves are brown and the sky is gray.
And the sky is gray.
Sure.
And look, honestly, if think about it logically, if the leaves are brown and the sky is gray and it's a winter's day and you're not in California, you're dreaming about being in California, you're somewhere on the East Coast, for example, it's already snowy and it's wintry.
Well, then you wouldn't see the brown leaves.
You wouldn't see the brown leaves. I know. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So it's bullshit.
So John Phillips was an idiot.
Yeah. Fucking asshole. Yeah. what was I going to say? Oh, so my song. This one, I've always loved 10cc, you know, one of my favorite bands. And this song reminds me of when I was, gosh, when did this come out? It probably would have been when I was 10. And I was too young. I kind of felt trapped. You know, I had a loving family, but I felt like they were kind of strict, my parents, and I could never go and be at my friend's house or, really develop these kind of relationships with other people. And I always, when winter came, especially in fall, I felt like I was trapped in the house. Yes. And so music was quite, an escape for me. And hearing a song like this about this kind of an existential angst and this relationship falling apart and this kind of stuff, I could only dream of what that might be. Like, but this song has always reminded me of fall.
Like walking in the rain and the snow when there's nowhere to go, when you're feeling like a part of you is dying and you're looking for the answer in her eyes. You think you're gonna break up, then she says she wants to make up.
So good.
It is one of my favorite pop songs all time. Absolutely.
I like so the picture you painted. I don't think people in like warm weather states, and especially California, understand the feeling of impending gloom and depression that
for months
that
at
overcomes
a time.
You
yeah.
The first time a chill gets in the air at 4:30 p.m. and all of a sudden you're like, it's dark at 4:30 and now... like I haven't even eaten dinner and my homework's not done yet. It's dark and it's raining and it's cold and I'm inside and there's nothing else to do. You know what I mean? It's
especially like, if you're an outside boy. I mean, for me as an indoor kid, I was in my element, man. It's like, oh, what? I have to stay inside, watch TV, and listen to records all the time? That's what I've been doing all summer.
Thanks, winter. I would have loved to do that, but my brother was a D-bag, and we get in fights all the time. So I had to get out of the house just to be like, I need sanity. I'm tired of getting picked on, and I want to go. I'll go stand out in a field somewhere. I don't care.
Say, quick tangent. Quick tangent. Last night, and I'm not going to give away a big spoiler here, but have you watched this Many Saints of whatever the Sopranos prequel?
No,
it's on the to-do list.
It's absolutely going to be viewed by me very soon for
just,
sure.
Just watched it last night. With Lara, and I won't give away any of the plot details, but I will say one of the words that Josh just used about his brother.
D-bag?
I don't think I knew the etymology of that word.
Oh.
Really?
And you go see the movie, and then we'll talk about it later. Just a quick aside. Right. But yeah, just something to listen for in the movie where I'm like, huh? Wait, what? And Laura and I both looked at each other like, what?
FYI, if my brother's listening, I love you. All right. And that'll be the last time I ever say that ever again.
Woo. All right. Josh gets to wrap things up here with maybe the most fall-like song of all.
All right. So, Andy, like I said, I'm panicking, trying to figure this out. So what do I do? I kind of look back and put myself in a fall situation and I bring up a memory and I remember again, it seems like just being miserable and walking to school and it being freezing cold and gray and wet and my feet were cold and it was just, it was windy. It was just nobody smiling. Everybody's just side glancing each other because everybody hates life. And I would steal my brother's yellow Sony waterproof Walkman, right? Remember those?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I don't even know how. I don't think this tape was mine. I think it was just in there. And there was like a point in time where I think he forgot he had the Walkman. So I had it for like a month and I would listen to it walking to school, to Center Avenue School every morning. And this was one of the songs that I remember. Go for it.
I took potpourri for 100 and then my head started to spin. Well, I'm giving up the pardo. Just tell me now what I didn't win. Yeah, yeah.
Oh man. Weird Al.
Weird Al in 3D is the name of that album, I think.
It just conjures the autumnal equinox for me.
I hear that and I taste pumpkin pie.
The funny thing about that is that I, for a minute, was gathering the sound for Greg Kinn's Jeopardy, and then I was like, oh, wait, is that what Josh said? And then I double-checked your text, and it was like, no, it was I lost on Jeopardy. You didn't give me an artist, you just gave me a title.
I figured I lost
so
on
I'm
Jeopardy
like, I'm taking
so
a leap
obvious.
Of faith, and I'm going, I'm pretty sure... He's going Weird Al here. Absolutely.
Yep.
Josh, I'm going to give you a D plus on this assignment.
Well, you know what? Can I put forth the motion that we never do in spring and winter? Because I don't know.
No,
I've
no.
Dug
no,
deep
no, I second
this.
That. No, I've I dug second deep it.
No,
I second
no.
it.
No, 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 no. No, now it's a lock. We've got to do it. And the winter is up next. God. Winter is up next. Oh, yeah, Jesus. Absolutely. See you in a couple of months, friends.
Great.
That's it's
now
it's
I get to transport myself back into cold, angry Josh out and throw snow in his ear because he got hit by a snowball.
Oh, that's the worst.
What song was I listening to then?
Get an ice ball right in the face.
And if you got glasses, if it gets you right in the side and it sticks in your lenses. The worst.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Hey, we got some phone calls, people.
Woo!
Anybody in for it? Larry, by the way, thank you for doing that. Thank you. Golf clap.
I hope everybody feels like that little nip in the air and that little hint of pumpkin spice in your nostrils after hearing Jeopardy. I lost on Jeopardy by Weird Al, an American idiot.
Oh, heavens. Hey, our phone number, if you want to call us, is 626-657-6428. 626-657-6428 or amok PM hat. And that mnemonic device apparently works because we've got 5
Whoa.
Phone calls to get to today. But mercifully, the longest one is 50 seconds. So we're gonna zip right through these. You guys ready?
Are we doing the long one first?
No, we're going in order. Okay.
This is Carol from Tustin. I'm calling about Van Gates. If you look up Tom Green, he is going on a road trip in a van that Andy wants to build. I hope you enjoy it. Bye.
Ah, Tom Green.
I fingered Freddie.
Yeah.
Who was he married to?
He was in a relationship with Drew Barrymore for a while.
That's right.
What a goofball. That guy's got a weird career, right? What did he do?
By the way, who's following Tom Green these days? So
Carol from Tustin is
thinking, I'm like, hey, I wonder what Tom Green's up to lately.
Thank you for your call, Carol. Appreciate it. Don't give Carol a hard time. She's adding to the narrative.
Nothing wrong with Carol. It's just like, I'm not really sure who's keeping an eye on Tom Green.
I don't want in my life where I stop and think, I wonder what Tom Green's doing.
I wish him well. You know, no ill will.
Plenty of phone calls to get to here.
All right.
Here we go. Next.
Oh, so we're not supposed to comment on them.
This is Peter in Northern California. Remember back to your childhood, maybe Josh, not so much Andy or... Sorry. Sam and Larry.
Sorry, Larry.
They might be too old for this, but do you remember back kid, there was that guy in your neighborhood that always had the custom van. He was really proud of it. And then you get older, and you realize he's just a loser. Put a ton of money in his van. If you know what I'm implying here. Have a good day.
Absolutely. Everybody has one of those, right?
Boy, well, I remember that. I think my sister dated him, as a matter of fact.
I'm going to point out one thing that's a little ironic is Peter saying, Josh, you remember your childhood, but what's his name?
What's his face?
All the other old guys.
Starts with a can't remember. The guy whose memory's going, you know who I mean. Andy and Larry.
You got Sam in there, too.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Peter, for...
Seems to be everybody suggesting that I'm on the path
to becoming the neighborhood loser.
The van thing seems to really be catching fire here.
I would never have thought Vangate and Cat Daddy. They're the ones that really.
I think we got to combine them. I still say Cat Daddy in neon printing on the side of the van is, you know, with a the three claws scotch. Through the side.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the cartoon looks like claws. It's, yep. It looks like it's clawed through.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's peeling the paint in the metal back.
Because you know how vans have that tiny little hood in the front? You could just have 100.3 the bone right on it.
I like it. All right, moving on here.
Hey, guys, this is Todd from SoCal. I just listened to the latest episode. I want to respond to Josh. I'm not trying to take that other truck driver's thunder. I just don't think you can ever get enough truck horn.
Yep.
Personally, I've been driving for it's almost 30 years, and I still like to pull the old truck horn. So, if it's too much, you guys just tell me next week, and I'll stop doing it. I'll figure out something else to talk about. But right now, this is what a truck horn sounds like in Lancaster. Talk to y'all later.
All right. I feel I need to respond, and I would like to withdraw any statement that I made that offended anybody that blows a truck horn. I think he said it more perfectly than I could ever say. There can never be enough truck horn on this show, so...
Yeah, I agree.
If I offended any truck drivers out there, I'm sorry. Please feel free to blow your horn as much as you want. Do it as much as you want on this show. And if you're out driving around, definitely do it when you see somebody on a bicycle. Definitely. And if they're
especially if they're wearing the little outfit with the clicky clacky shoes
and especially if they have the body that does not fit in that outfit. And also, if people are crossing this road in front of your truck, you feel free to have the green light on that too. And then give them a little okay symbol and a thumbs up when you're done.
Can you see little old lady going across a little walker with, congestive heart failure, and you just blast that thing and she keels over right there in the crosswalk?
Maybe take your father-in-law in front of one of those.
You know what when we were kids, no. There's a bunch, in Western Pennsylvania, because there's so much land, there's a ton of golf courses everywhere, and they're always by roads. And I used to always, when we would be driving past these golf courses, I'd wait until, because the tee boxes would be right 15 yards off the side of the road. I would wait until the guy started his backswing, slam on the horn as we drove past, and you'd see these crusty old coots turn and glare. Oh, such a jerk.
Hold, please. And we're back.
Here's the fat dog.
there's the scrotum crusher.
Look at that, Gert.
Who is that?
Look at the size of that man.
Oh my gosh. That's a fat dog.
That's a chubby puppy.
That's a fat dog.
Chunky Charlie.
Chunky Charlie. I like Charlie. I especially like what he does to your testicles.
All right.
That's a weird thing to say. I hope people heard the whole conversation
just
earlier.
Start the podcast right there.
Sorry for the interruption again there, fellas. It's my youngest one, is pretty excited. It's Girl Scout fall merchandise time.
Ooh, what's that mean?
And she's, they got like nuts.
Well, that is exciting.
They sell. She wants to set up her website so she can take online orders for, you know, nuts.
Nuts. All yeah. right.
Candy coated nuts and stuff.
All right.
So they're champing at the bit for us to get done with this stupid podcast so they can get in here and do something really productive on the computer. Okay, we've got another phone call. Sorry, Josh, I didn't mean to interrupt your colorful story. All right,
go ahead.
Here we go.
Gentlemen, it's Ron from Claremont. Hey, the whole Cat Daddy thing got me wondering. Andy and Larry, during your guys' illustrious careers on the radio, did you guys ever go through a wacky DJ phase, maybe at the beginning? And if so, please tell me you guys have recordings of it. And if you didn't, did you guys ever work with any wacky DJs that were wacky on the radio or were kind of like Cat Daddy? Just curious. Hope you guys have a good one. Later.
That's a good question. I want to know this answer.
I mean, I definitely came out of the, I started at the end of the like Boss Jock era, and I was definitely doing like really heightened shtick with drop-ins and things like that. To a certain extent, I've never not been a little bit wacky, just a little more grounded in the past 20 years. But yeah, I mean, I was a screaming, yelling night job sure.
So, do you think you started your career coming out of the gate a little hot, to just because you're this is new to you, so you don't?
Well, that
you know
was
what I
the
mean?
Era. Okay. I mean, it was that was what you did, right. And I just took it and ran with it, and for sure. But I have continued as I started to kind of settle down a little bit. I mean, even over the past few years, there were still a few holdovers from that era who thought that, you know, doing on the air was still appropriate and sounded good, and people could really enjoy that. The answer was no, that's not true. But yeah, I mean, I definitely pushed the envelope when I was young, drinking a lot of coffee, being on at night, screaming and yelling, and that audio exists. I have not hit it. It's unfortunately still out there.
I was thinking about it, and I think that, you know, ever since I started in radio, I've always had in my mind this character who's the boss jock, who's over the top kind of thing, and always had that, you know, stacks of wax, platters the batter, puppy, you know, that kind of, hey, it's, you know, it's Wolfman Jack, baby, you know, that kind of thing, that over the top character in my mind. And I never wanted to get to there, but then I go back and I hear some of the audio of when I was younger doing this. I'm like, Christ, I am puking all over this.
Yeah, it was a lot. Right?
Well, I mean, it's a lot.
Right, but it's also, this is, you know, this is new to you. This is something that you don't know what you know now, so you can't help but to just fall. I would assume that you can't help but just to fall into that a little bit if everybody else is doing it.
Oh, even, yeah. You know what I mean? We were emulating other guys that we had heard that we liked, that we thought that was. And if I started in Top 40, did you start in Top 40?
Well, classic hits. It was kind of like, but oldies with new stuff as well.
So they were probably, your guys were probably trying to affect that old school sound as kinda. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah,
I started in Top 40, and it was just, it was all upbeat, high energy, you know, talking every second record, and, you know, it was a lot. Yeah. And I think it was expected at the time.
Yeah, to be a little bit bigger than the music somehow. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, one last phone call, friends. Here we go.
Hey, guys, it's customer service agent Lynn, and I have some Cat Dad porn. He pressed her up against the wall. She could feel his jorts bulging as she untucked his Cat Daddy T-shirt. She pushed him backwards on the bed as he began to undress. No, she said. The New Balance 624s stay on. I'm so hot, she proclaimed. Hi, hot. I'm Cat Daddy, he whispered back.
Oh, my God, Lynn. We need to hear part 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 on that.
I hope it's a serial.
That is my favorite phone call we've ever received. Oh, man. Did you hear her voice? Like, she was really into that. There's already Cat Daddy fan fiction, Andy. This is a thing. The ball is rolling. The ball of yarn is rolling.
It's already bigger than me. It's bigger than any of us.
This is out of control.
That is jorts. Something. Wow.
I respect anybody that can work jorts into a sentence.
Well, friends, we're not going to top that. Let's stop while we're ahead.
Yeah.
It's 626-657-6428 or Oamuck PM Hat. Larry, what's the Yafsack email address and a way to get a hold of you if people want
to? If you have any more fan fiction, or as Lynn put it, porn, that you would like to pass along based on Cat Daddy escapades, yourartificialfriends@gmail.com is our email address. Feel free to drop us a line.
I need to start smoking cigarettes again. Josh?
Yeah. You can reach me at joshuajfligger@gmail.com. So Cat Daddy's got internet porn and anime now, right? Because he got the picture, too.
Yeah, we got the picture up on our Facebook page. Yeah.
Cats like to do it in the litter. You can reach me on Facebook.
I think you could probably just good leave or that necessary. Out. You can cut that and leave it on the floor.
I'm on Facebook, DJ Andy Chanley. On Twitter, Andy_Chanley. And Instagram, just Andy Chanley. Thanks, folks, for being with us today.
I'm all hot and bothered.
Yeah, me too. The literal climax of the episode.
Hey, Cindy, get ready to podcast.
I hope it was good for you guys too.